Turn to Titus. I want to start in Titus chapter 1. And we talked a little bit about the members of the body of Christ a little bit. And I want to deal with the deacons and the elders and the leaders of a church. And I'm thinking about doing a leadership meeting once a week, maybe Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. Invite just the men of the church to lead and talk about leadership and those kind of things. And Sunday afternoon, I'm here almost 90% of the time. That's why Sunday afternoon. Because sometimes I'll be out of town on Saturday and Thursday and whatever. But I believe in leadership. And that's kind of what it says. Look in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I have left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. That is, appoint them after your order, after what I did with you. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accursed or accused of rioting or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, Romans through Philemon, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, and on and on. Now I'm going to get down in that in just a minute. Notice that he says in verse 6, if any be blameless. Well, how many are sinful?
All.
But blameless, it has to do more with what they do with the ministry. You know, there's some people that are constantly there. Kind of like they're always there. And they're always trying to do things for the ministry. Wayne's a good example. Larry, Stan, all the men here. William, you know, on and on. You know, blameless. Also, that would include open and few indiscretions. You understand they wouldn't be out necessarily as adulterers or at the Playboy Club or whatever. They're not going to be that kind of person. The husband of one wife. At this time, you know, there were men with multiple wives. I don't think it's the same doctrine as being divorced and remarried, although I think that the idea would be that one wife would be all that he did. They didn't say the wife was divorced. I'm always amazed at how they read that into there and those kind of things. You with me? That nobody can be divorced. Well, it didn't say that. It said the husband of one wife. Well, that's true of me. That's true of many in here. And I think that the whole list here, not self-willed, not soon angered, not given to wine, nor striker, that is, you know, taking up arms and all that, not given to filthy lucre. I see some of these Pentecostals, and they preach this abundant life, and if they don't live above a certain, you know, they think God's not blessing them. And what? God, listen, whether I'm rich or poor, I mean, Paul said, I know how to abase and abound. You know, you're going to go through all of it, according to Colossians. So, you know, it isn't going to be a one thing. I've never seen life where, I have never seen life do this. I've never seen this. It's more like this, if it's anything.
Amen.
More down than up.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's how cycles are. You know, they listen, if you had all good cycles, you know, what do we know out of 6,000 years? It's going to what?
Rain.
So, you know, things are going to... But don't let that be the central focus. In fact, most of the people that I know that have gained money don't gain it because they are... I don't think that most people who want to be rich will ever be rich. Look, if you will, in Proverbs. I think the misnomer is most people who want to be rich are broke. And it's because... Well, it has to do with covetousness and other things. I've got a buddy, and he's been wanting to be rich the whole time I've known him. And he's the brokest guy I know. And he told me he's working on his third million because his second million didn't quite work out the way he thought it was. That's what he told me the other day.
Gave up on the first and the second.
Yeah, first hour was too hard. The second one just didn't look like it was ever coming around, so he started on his third. But your goal ought to never be to be rich. And the man of God who is going to be worth his salt in leadership is going to have that as his goal. I know people whose goal is to have money. I can tell you, I tried that, it doesn't work. Well, let me tell you, just look in Proverbs 23. Y'all are in Proverbs now? Go to Proverbs 23. Verse 4. 23. Labor not to be what?
Rich.
That is, work not to be rich. That's interesting. Cease from thine own wisdom. How many here thought they were going to get rich because they worked hard? Yeah, everybody in here probably thought that. I'm going to really be diligent, and I'm going to... And now, after you've lived on planet Earth for 50 years, how you doing? Where are you on the rich vow? Huh? Yeah. What?
Still poor.
So, you know, you hard work doesn't get you there. Amen?
Amen.
So you got this dilemma in the thinking, okay, how do you get rich? You're welcome, Leonard. Glad to remind you anytime. I gave Curtis that job. Did Curtis call you and let you know that... we were up and running because I gave him that job. So if he didn't, I need to know and fire him. Verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, that is riches? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. People ever, you ever seen anybody win a lotto or win some money and the next thing they're broke? Well, you know, the man of God's not to be given to filthy lucre, because, you know, before you know it, the next thing you're going to do is just be chasing money all the time. It never comes in. That's what happens. You think, you always think your ship's coming in.
But it's full of holes.
But what happens if it doesn't, as Jim Rohn says, what happens if it doesn't make it? You know, you're going to be broke. So what is it that God wants from you? Well, look, if you will, in Proverbs 8. See, I believe what you ought to be seeking is not money. I believe what you ought to be seeking is wisdom. And he said this in verse 17. All right, Curtis, you get a pass. Curtis just wrote, I told Leonard, I let Leonard know, don't fire me yet. Laugh out loud. We won't kill you yet. Praise the Lord, brother. Verse 17. He did it, but he said he ain't going to do it for free forever.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, as soon as the preacher gets paid, he'll get paid. Verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. I love them that love me. Who's the me? It's wisdom. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Okay, well, I like gold. How many here has been hearing gold's the way to go?
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yea, than fine gold and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me, wisdom, to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasury. Is the guy going to fill his treasury? No. Wisdom's going to fill his treasury. So you got two basic people. You got two basic people in the Bible. Do we get different black markers? These come off.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. You got two different people. This one over here is gaining wisdom. And this one is working hard. Hard worker. And he's putting money into the bank. This guy, he's trying to learn the will of God. And he's trying to serve the Lord. And God, the Father, God the Son, and wisdom is filling his bank account. You're either one or the other. Most people don't trust in the Lord. Most people don't. They say, oh, I believe in trusting the Lord. Well, this is, I can prove that that's not true with money. Now, I want you to see this. People have a pie. And they have the pies cut in pieces. And all of these pieces represent bills. The biggest one's probably the house. The next biggest ones are cars, boats, Harleys,
Bazinga,
food, fun, utilities, you know, things like that. And then if they have a little bit of disposable income, they'll give part of that to the Lord. That's this guy over here. You got it? That's how he thinks. I got to pay all these first, and then the Lord. Notice that the Lord was at the very end. He measures his bills, and he says, can I afford to give to the Lord? That's what he does. Now, that doesn't take faith. Remember what faith is. Well, we can see that, how that's faith, right? That doesn't take. Does that take any faith?
No,
it doesn't take any faith at all. Period. None. Zilch. It's not even being given by faith because you can figure it out. And so that's what this guy thinks like, because he's working on his bank account and he knows he needs to have this little bit of money going into it, right? He's a hard worker. Honest. He believes. He goes to things, but he's not gaining wisdom. He's trusting his own way. Remember what's the old Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's fascinating. This guy does something completely different. He looks at his pie, and it's cut into 10. Is that going to work out to 10? Well, it didn't work out. I need 9, 10. And these are all equal portions. Just y'all understand? This guy, the very first 10% goes to the Lord. Now, he may not know what the rest of the bills are for the month. You know what that takes?
Faith.
That takes faith. That's completely different than this guy over here. Does that make sense? And so this guy gives 10% to the Lord. And then number two, he takes this and he starts to what? Pay himself first, because that's wise, right? And then he pays the rest of his bills. Now, there's two sons in Proverbs. This son over here is an unwise son. This son is wise. There are two sons in Proverbs that he talks about. And the wise son is the one that God is looking for to be the minister and the person of faith. I can tell you, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. It is all His anyway. And so, you know, people say, well, what kind of man is God looking for? Well, He's looking for one that's interested in wisdom and not in all the facts. Go to Matthew 25. No, well, not in Matthew. In Matthew 25, look, if you will, in verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, and unto the to another 2 talents, unto another 1. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Now, why didn't he give the 5 talents to the guy that could only do 1? He's not too sure. This is what I've learned in my life. If you go to an accountant, you need to ask your accountant questions. Say, is your house paid for? If the accountant says no, what are you going to do?
Run.
Get another accountant. If your accountant is not a millionaire, would you listen to him? No. You don't listen to non-millionaires trying to make $1 million. You understand? I don't go to poor people for financial advice. Now, I don't care where you are politically. What? Yes?
That's bad, because I have some good advice.
No, you don't have any good advice.
On the tomato.
Huh? Well, we haven't got the fruit off that tomato yet. We'll compare that at the end. But you think you got wisdom, but you haven't applied it. And it's obvious. Because if you look at your bank account, you'll go, hey, I didn't do something right. You understand? You look down in the bag and there's nothing in the bag. You go, hey, there's nothing in the bag. God doesn't want that kind of person. If you're looking in your bag and there ain't nothing there, then you've been not very ambitious, or you haven't thought it out very good. You're broke. God isn't interested. See, God, He told them to go ordain people that were not given to filthy lucre, but was given to wisdom. And He's looking for those people. And you can tell those people when they have wisdom. The wisdom in the story in Matthew 25 is God knew not to give the 5 to the 1. God knew it. You know why? Doesn't look good. Give them a chance, but don't give them the farm. You got it? Don't give them the farm. You know why? They may blow it. They haven't been very good up to this point. Why risk the whole thing? Now, I don't want to knock our president or our government. But you can't spin yourself into prosperity. You want me to prove it? Spend and spend and spend yourself into... There are no... They spent it all. If you're spending, you can't even afford an umbrella when it comes.
Look at all the athletes that are paying millions and millions and broke when they're at league.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter that your capacity to make $1 million is the capacity to use it and gain it and then make it endure. So in Matthew 25, he gives these people and then he goes and leaves. The last part of 15, and straightway took his journey. And he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. He that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Now, I want you to think about this for an idea. How do you think the Lord thought of that servant? I'll give you an example of the story. Is Daniel rising up in the Babylonian Empire and the Media-Persian Empire? Why do you think that was? He showed wisdom and he was the second wealthiest man beside Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Joseph too? Well, that's who I was actually thinking of. In Pharaoh. Because it was, Nebuchadnezzar and those guys over in Babylon for Daniel.
Right.
Come on, guys. They raised up because they showed themselves to be wise. You know what people look at Christians to say, come in and they say, I don't want to be like that person. Always having their hands out. Always begging for money. Always needing something. How come you like that? Does your father not have the cattle of 1,000 hills? Why are you broke? Maybe it's because you're like the guy that only has 1 talent. The guy comes in with the 5 talents. He gained 5 more. And look what he said in verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. He showed himself to be wise. He gained wisdom. Well, people aren't going to give you something if you don't start showing some wisdom. Say, well, how soon does it take? It only takes a second in choice. Got it? Only a second. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Wow! That's what I'd like to hear. Amen? How about all the people that come to church and beg for money? You know why we don't have a phone number in the book? Because on the 1st and the 15th, I would get 30 to 50 calls on the 1st and on the 15th, the same amount of people begging for me to pay their electric bill. Ask Ms. Brenda, is that not true? It got so bad, I'm like, these are the only people we're talking to. What is wrong with that picture? Did you not figure your roof was going to need replacing? Your car is going to wear out?
Needed a water pump.
Surprise! You know, if you're surprised at 60 years old that your car needs a water pump occasionally, that's not good.
I did have the money to pay for it.
Thank God.
Cash.
Amen.
Not on a credit card.
Praise the Lord. What did I tell you to do with the credit cards?
And I did. I don't own a credit card.
What did I tell you to do with them?
Cut them up.
Who told you that?
Pastor Hampton.
That's right. Cut them up. You got credit cards? Cut them up. I'm not kidding. Cut them up. You don't need them. Huh? Okay. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent finally gets to him. And he said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sow not. Well, folks, how do you think that... Remember, over here, does hard work do it?
No.
No, wisdom tells you, look, you can't become wealthy with what you do. You've got to figure how to make it multiply. Seems so basic to me. I'm like, okay, class. Class. God's looking for men with wisdom. He's looking for men that's got it going on. People broke. They wonder why they're broke. They go, hey, why am I broke? Watch my lips. You're stupid. Stop what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
You got to stop. This is what reminds me. Well, that's what everyone's doing that's broke at 65. They're just doing the old hard work and they're thinking they're going to get different results. You can't think that way. God doesn't want you to think that way. That's the world's thinking. They got you trapped as slaves. You know what? The black people understand slavery a lot better than we do. But you know what? That's not really true today. We're all slaves.
That's right.
They have made us slaves to the system. Work hard, get a degree, work hard, work hard, work hard, and everybody... Here's the thing. At 65, 95% of the people are either broke or dead and broke. Or just dead. Y'all understand? That's the reality of it. How many people here know that their parents or grandparents lived off of Social Security only? Come on, raise your hand. That's all they had coming in left. My dad's got a retirement, but you know his father's father. I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they lived off of Social Security, and they're wondering, hey, can you live off of one third of what you're making now?
No,
but that's what's going to happen when you get 65, and it's like it's a surprise. Hello, it shouldn't be a surprise. They've been sending you notices what you're going to make.
And then the biggest surprise was last year and this year and next year, no increases in it.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. I mean, they've got your whole... Is that how you want to live as a enslaved person?
No guarantee problem. They ain't guarantee that it's going to be there.
No, well, it's broke now. It's unfunded liability. They're just printing cash to do it, but there's no money backing the Social Security. Y'all do know that, right? So what happens when that goes down? What happens when that goes down? You got a lockbox in the floor? Just point it out just in case you die.
They're talking about confiscating everybody's retirement
plan. I know.
They're just going to take it away from you.
Well, that's exactly right. Hey, listen, guys. Your only thing that you've got is called wisdom. Wisdom. That's the problem. People want to have everything. But what they need back worse than anything is they need wisdom. Let me see if I can find the thing in Proverbs that just popped in my head. Yes. Proverbs 11. Yeah, 11. Verse 28 first. Watch this. He that trusteth in his riches shall what? You can't even trust the money you save. You all understand? It was fascinating what happened after we left Vietnam. They gave everybody $200. Everybody got the exact same amount. You know who ended up with all the money? The same people that were rich before.
20%.
And so in 2 years, guess what they did? They changed the currency and everybody got $200. And guess what happened? The same people got it up. Because they understood how money worked. Now, that's fascinating experiments of humanity. This has nothing to do with Christians. But there is some logic into it, because the people who are wealthy because they made choices and decisions based upon non-emotional entities and wisdom. But now hold it. You guys got an advantage over that. You have and plug into the Creator of heaven and earth. Pretty cool, huh? That's amazing. So, how do you get it? Well, watch this in verse 24. Kind of freaks people out, but there is that that scattereth, yet increases. And there is that that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. Can someone explain that to me? You got to get out and scatter the money. It's like sowing seed. A farmer takes 1,000 seeds and he lays it out into the field. He's not expecting 1,000 seeds back. He's expecting 1,000 seeds back. You all understand? And then he's going to gather that in and he's going to do it again. And more increase. And they do this with cattle all the time. You know, do you all know the difference between capitalism, communism, and socialism? Here's communism. You got two cows. The government comes in and takes your two cows, pays you $1 an hour to milk it, and then sells you the milk for $4 a gallon. Okay, that's how it works. That's communism. Socialism, which is where we're headed, is this. You've got one cow, but Jean doesn't have one, so they come and take my cow, because I've been wise with getting two cows, but she doesn't have any. So they take it from me and give it to Jean. That's what we've been doing. That's social engineering. They've been doing that for years and years. And they're trying to help some of the poor people. And I understand that, but you know what? You can't make poor people rich, because they haven't got the wisdom. You ever notice that the poor people are always still poor because they're using the same principles over and over and over and over again, and we're wondering why? If you want a great work in the black community where there's poverty and the poor white people, I tell you, go teach them how money works. They don't know. You know why? They don't teach it in school. They teach you how to become an employee. They teach you how to work for somebody. But they don't teach you how money works, and therefore you're the enslavement of whoever is smarter than you. It's the way it is. Four generations, people on welfare. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, and I'm a liberal. I think you ought to sow out. But you know what I've learned not to do? I've learned not to give 5 talents to the one that can only handle one and probably won't handle it good. You know why? If you give them all 5 talents, what's going to happen? They're going to blow it. You got it? That doesn't matter. He that scattereth yet increases. You've got to sow. And he that withholdeth, oh, it's mine. I finally got it. It's mine. It's mine. Guess what they're going to end up doing? Because they never sowed it, they're going to go what? They're going to go broke because they're hanging on to it. Money doesn't work if you hang on to it. That's the problem. Money doesn't work if you hang on to it. You can ask, he's been hanging on to it, trying to save for a deck. What happens?
Air conditioner.
Everything breaks that you possibly can break. You're going to tend to poverty as long as that's all you do. You've got to figure how to multiply your efforts. That's all you can do. He said, the liberal soul shall be made what? And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. But he that withholdeth corn, I don't have enough to share with you. The people shall curse, but blessing shall be upon his the head of him that selleth it. See, that's you gotta get it out there. Y'all with me? So you know when Paul was talking about in Titus not giving the filthy lucre, he wasn't talking about not having wisdom. He was just talking about not wanting the money. You know, Solomon said, God said, well, whatever you want, I will grant you. So Solomon thought a little bit. He said, I don't want gold or silver, Lord. I want wisdom to rule your people. You know what God said? Because what did he say in Proverbs 8? He will fill, cause you to inherit substance, and he will fill your treasury. And God said to Solomon, because you neither ask for gold nor silver, but you ask for wisdom, I will grant unto you wisdom, but I also will fill your treasury. Who was the richest man on planet Earth?
Solomon.
Now, isn't that fascinating? That fascinates me. And so, as you learn to rightly divide, you're gaining the wisdom of God, but using it is truly the wisdom. Using it is truly the wisdom. See, if you gain all this knowledge and you don't share it with any, what are you going to tend to? Property. You're hanging on to it. It doesn't give you anything. But if you gain this knowledge and you start sharing it, that's when it gets remarkable. People ask me how I learn the Bible as well as I do, and I don't think I know it very well, that's for sure. But the little that I do know, you know how it came about? You want to know? Saying you want to know? I have showed it to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I mean, I didn't just sit down with them. I sat down with the Word of God and pulled the verses. And you know, each time I did, I got a little bit better and a little more understanding and a little more wisdom. I haven't seen anybody. Well, Norm's coming on pretty strong. That want to go out and show people. How many people did we show it to, Larry, when I first got here, brother? We went through hundreds of them. Just me and Larry. I'd drag him along so in case I got thrown out or beat up, he could drag me home to Brenda. And sometimes that would be the case. I don't see anybody cares anymore. Honestly. You want to be a minister? You want to be the one with wisdom? Show up. Go street preach. So I might get arrested. Well, won't that feel good? Won't that feel good? What'd you get arrested for? I was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Woo! I was talking to some of the young ladies up in Kentucky. I don't know if they're watching or if they've traveled on to their destinational spots of leisure up in Minnesota. But she said this. How about this out of a young lady? We swung our swords last night, talked to Mary and gave her lots of scriptures to think about. She kept saying, I just can't believe it. And I said, don't let up until you see blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, ha! Okay. We told her we were having Bible study at camp, and she just kept saying, well, who is your teacher? Well, that would be me. How about a girl talking about swinging the sword, buddy? Wow. I called the guys up, Chafin and Curtis and David Z and Leonard, and say, hey, I'm here to wipe your sword off with the blood, man. I ain't got nothing to do down here. Nobody's swinging swords anymore. And I love that. Be a soldier of the cross. That's the kind of guy the Lord's looking for. One that's got wisdom. I was watching the movies. We went to the movies the other day and they had this Jackie Chan in Karate Kid. I don't think it's the Karate Kid movie. I forgot what movie it is. But they're teaching them how to fight. And he yells to him, says, "Yeah, and you got to learn how to run. When? Run now!" You know, you got to know it all. God's interested in men of God being ordained in every city that were skilled in the Word of God. Carlton came up and said, "And I'm about to deliver my first sermon." I said, "Well, let's go out and practice a little on people first. In case you start whirling that thing and you might knock somebody's heads off that doesn't need to come off. Let me go out and see you swirl it. You see what you got. I'll help you. I'm not a master yet, but I can tell you if you're swinging the club wrong. The sword cuts better when you don't slap them. Boom. You know, it works better when you're dicing. And you may want to use the other edge. It's thinner." "I never really thought about that." You know what I mean? You don't want to slap them upside the head. You want to chop their heads off. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know, if they have a fatal wound, maybe they'll trust the Lord. Say, "Well, that doesn't sound very inviting." You know, it's you ought to read the story about Elijah. He was told to take all those prophets of Baal down to the brook Kidron. 450, and he whacks their heads off. Preaching to them the gospel. Can you imagine 450 heads all around your feet? God's looking for men. Men with wisdom. Men with some understanding. Men that are willing to go out and be the target. You know what I know? And when you start to preach the gospel, everybody's going to attack you. You know what? That's no big deal. So Barry's a jerk. Amen. Say, "Barry's just this." Well, that's probably true too. "I think Barry's a liar." Yep, he is. But I'm saved. And I know what end of the sword to use. Sound doctrine is the... In verse 9, go back to Titus chapter 1. So, you know, I use money as an example of wisdom because most people don't have much wisdom. I see a guy that's broke, he's probably not going to make a good minister. You know? Not going to make a good minister. Do you think? What do you think, Tony? Think a broke man would make a good minister? Always trying to figure out how not to be broke. What? A good beggar. I think that's true. Carlton, what do you think of that? You think a broke man would make a good preacher? What about it, Wayne? What do you think?
Probably wouldn't.
So use a little wisdom. See what you can increase in strength. Why don't you see over the next 90 days what you could do if you really tried? It might be amazing to you what you could do. The other thing he talks about is holding fast to the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, or you could put under that word circumcision legalists, the law keepers. Whose mouths must be stopped, subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for what? Filthy lucre. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become what? See that sound doctrine, sound doctrine, sound doctrine. Well, there's some sound doctrine that you need to know. that will help you be rooted and grounded and established in love, as Ephesians says. And as you start to grow into that, you will become the man of God that God is looking for. See, God wants people ordained in every city. Man, I wanted to preach. From the time I heard this message and got saved, I wanted to preach. I didn't want a job. I worked just because I had to feed my family. I wanted to preach. That's all I've ever wanted to be. You know what my goal in life is? To be the best grace preacher I can be. That's all I want to be. That's it. That's all I've ever wanted to be. The whole time I've had to work and help even support the ministry just to keep it going. But you know what? I praise God for that too. Because God has had to give it to me for me to give it. It's miraculous what God can do. Man, let me tell you, you get down to the point where it's all bad and looks like it's going to fall apart and you don't think it's going to happen. I've been there. I can tell you that there was one time Brenda and I were so low, there wasn't even that old crusty mayonnaise jar in the corner of the refrigerator. It was totally cleared out. We had no food for the day, none for lunch. And I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, you know, I went out and did this ministry for you, and you promised you'd take care of me. About 5 to 10 minutes later. I just had a little spike I had processed down at the place. I got it back. I don't have any room for it. I'd like to give you the whole deer. And he told me how to cut that tenderloin up into small little places and fry it. I said, let's try that tonight. So Brenda sliced that thing up real thin, that tenderloin, and fried it. Oh my gosh. So see, I haven't always been rich and I haven't always been poor. You know why? It's more like that cycle I showed you earlier. It goes up and down. But my trust and my interest was never the filthy lucre. It was always the wisdom of God. And I realize I've fallen short. See, that's one thing when you start to get close, you start to realize you're not anywhere near it. You know, some people think, well, I've got it. Well, if you think that, you're probably way, 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 way far away from it. Because the closer I thought I was getting to it, the further it started looking. Just had that weird, you know how that camera shot, they all of a sudden it looks like 2 miles out there, and at one time it looked like it was right here. That's how it is. You realize how short you are. And you start to realize there's no way you can gain all the wisdom of God. See, God doesn't really want you to do that. What God wants you to do is have the doctrine down. I'm going to end with this story here. I'm been babbling. I need to put these thoughts a little bit more in an understanding thing. I wanted to do it like this as a golfer, because I know some of the guys are golfers, and I doubt many are here golfers, but the guys up in Kentucky and maybe in Tennessee are golfers and whatever. Ben Hogan was out there swinging, and a guy came up and said, Mr. Hogan, I'd love to have your swing. And he stopped him and he said, you'd love to have my swing if you could just have it. You wouldn't want my swing if it took 1,000 balls before breakfast, 1,000 after breakfast, 1,000 after lunch, and 1,000 after dinner. Every day for 20 years. You wouldn't want it then. You know, I can tell you how to be the best golfer in the world. You can start at any age and really improve. Hit 1,000 balls in the morning, 1,000 balls after breakfast, 1,000 balls after lunch, and 1,000 balls after dinner. And if you did that for 5 to 6 years, let me tell you what you would do. You'd be a fairly good golfer. or be dead. William said, or be dead. Do you all understand though? How many of you think would improve? Everybody would improve. So it's weird, they get the gospel. So how many times did you show it? I haven't shown it to anybody. What do you want to be? Oh, I'd like to be a professional preacher. I had someone tell me the other day. Honest, this is the truth. Brenda was there. I said, well, what is it that you want to be? He said, I want to be a preacher just like you. One, you probably don't want that as your goal. But two, you want to do what it takes to be a preacher like me. You got too many things in your life. See, all I wanted to do was show people this truth. I was a Kmart manager working 80 hours a week. And every break, every lunch hour, when I was working late and overtime, and they weren't paying me. I mean, I'm above my pay wage now. I was drawing that time chart out on the top of boxes to every employee. One time a customer came by, and this is a true story. A customer came by and says, man, where did you learn this? You're a Kmart manager. I said, I was taught this by an old man. He said, I wish you would show it to me. I said, look to. He said, well, what are you doing Wednesday morning? I said, I'm off Wednesday morning. Wednesday was my day off. He said, I'll buy you breakfast if you'll show me this truth. So I would go in and we'd have a Granny's. We were in Texas. They had Granny's. Did y'all have Granny's here? Breakfast place? You did? Yeah, I think there was one somewhere here I saw. Anyway, it was a big breakfast deal and he'd sit there and buy me breakfast and I'd show him that truth over and over and he ended up getting saved. He ended up getting saved. He just happened to be a Baptist preacher. And he received the Lord. And then he told me, he said, I couldn't preach this. If I preach what you've shown me over the last year, they would throw me out of this Baptist church. So I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you haven't seen my church. 650 members active. It was a big independent Baptist church.
So he should have thought if he had that many followers before he was saved,
huh?
He would have double that once he got saved.
No. Don't work that way.
No.
Gene, you may want to look around a little bit. Are you having visual problems? Here, check her glasses, please.
I thought she went and got them fixed.
What? Those cataracts are coming back already?
630.
It'd be down to 30.
But I mean, he already has the church established.
Yeah, but listen, let me tell you what. It's the truth. It's the truth that causes it.
Yeah, I mean, look at how big Kirkpatrick, he had to leave his church and go and start another church. The guy in Chattanooga before they came,
that's right,
their church split. They were Baptist churches. They just split and separated.
I mean, it just the truth is very, very tough. But here's the deal. Every day for a year, 52 weeks, I showed that man the truth.
Whatever happened.
I don't know. I wish I had kept up with his name. Can't even, do you remember his name? Brendan went with me. His assistant pastor started coming.
No, I didn't get to go with you. I had to babysit Jamie, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Mark something?
Mark. It was Mark something. Anyway, the point that I'm making with you is you want to get good at this? You want to show wisdom? Go show 1,000 people this next week. Oh, yeah. Just show up. But if you don't, hey, listen, if you don't make an effort, then I can tell you exactly how many people you're going to talk to. You can pour it on. You don't have to go just to Mennonites or Baptists. You can go to anybody on the street and talk to them. I'm just telling you. You pour it on. How many people's in your apartment complex? Over 1,000. Well, there's got to be 2 to 3 in those each of those apartments, sometimes more. I bet there's 1,000 people.
But there's several hundred thousand. And the bus ministry,
I mean, I'm telling you guys, there's rescue mission, there's all kinds of things to be doing. It's time for us to turn up the heat if you're ready to minister. God's looking for wise men who are willing, that will hold on to sound doctrine and go out and make it happen. He's interested in you. I'm done.